While the presentation is loading, I may as well say this, that if you see there are three names there, and I am just one of the co-authors. They did most of the work and everything. I just gathered everything together. So I'm going to present what we were able to come up with. I'll be talking on lessons on health administration from overseas and looking at Christian hospitals in developing countries. Okay. Basically, we'll do a background just to get a feel of the topic. We'll present the survey results and then the conclusions we reached and recommendations. In the last decade or so, Christian leaders have been concerned about the state of Christian hospitals and their future in developing countries. We must know that this is coming at a time when some international agencies, including the World Bank and USAID, are suggesting that governments should involve private bodies and NGOs in meeting the healthcare needs of their people. Indeed, a recent study that was in 2008, published in the International Journal of Gynecology and Obstetrics, suggested that increased collaboration between governments and Christian hospitals, particularly in underserved and rural areas, could improve availability and quality of obstetric services enough to meet the MDG-5 target. That's good to hear. In fact, in 2008, a United Nations Population Fund, Global Forum on Faith-Based Organizations for Population and Development, brought together over 100 faith-based organizations and religious leaders from all major faiths and regions to discuss successful practices and ways to move forward in partnership with UNFPA in the areas of reproductive health and rights, gender equality, population, and development issues. These concerns by Christian leaders and interest by international bodies in NGOs may not be misplaced, considering that a WHO study found that 40% of the healthcare infrastructure across sub-Saharan Africa is operated by faith-based organizations. In Haiti, almost half of all hospitals are operated by NGOs. In Bolivia, NGOs own a quarter of health facilities in the three largest cities, and they supply more than 10% of clinical services in Indonesia and India. A third or more of all clinical care in Cameroon, Ghana, Malawi, Zambia, and Uganda is provided by Christian hospitals. Until a decade ago, in Nepal, the four hospitals associated with the United Missions to Nepal provided an estimated 25% of the available inpatient care for the entire country. What all this means is that FBOs, and Christian hospitals in particular, have a big role to play in getting health across to people in developing nations who are in dire need of such services. And in fact, some other studies have suggested, actually, that the services they provide are even of greater quality or better quality than that that can be found in government hospitals. That is debatable. We'll leave that at that. Okay. Now, we'll go back to the challenges we talked about earlier. Some of the challenges they identified, which prompted this particular survey, included problems that are related to lack of vision and leadership, staffing, relationship with the community, resources and finances, cultural conflicts, and availability and appropriate use of health technology. Consultative forums and surveys have been conducted to evaluate these challenges and solutions preferred for overcoming them. This includes the 2000 Christian Connections for International Health. I don't know whether you've heard about the Christian Connections for International Health. It's a network of Christian. You've heard? Okay, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
They have a booth in the expo.
Yeah, he's there. Okay, good. And then again, the London Healthcare Mission Forum in November 2002. Okay. In 2010, however, CCIH conducted an online survey with the following objectives: to assess the current state of Christian hospitals in developing countries, to assess the extent to which Christian hospitals have overcome the challenges that the 2000 survey identified, and finally, to determine what new challenges have emerged for Christian hospitals in developing countries. The findings of this survey are basically what I'm here to present. So we'll go to the next slide. Just not too many. We requested about 83 hospitals to complete questionnaires. The questionnaires were designed in two forms. The first one was just a simple one that can capture most of the areas that we felt we needed to evaluate to find out the status of Christian hospitals, while the second questionnaire was just a broader, an extension of the first one, so that we can dig deeper into what the respondents said in questionnaire one. Really, if you look at, if you analyze questionnaire one, it will give you an idea of what exactly the status of Christian hospitals are. Questionnaire two would help to broaden those ideas, and that's essentially we need that. So we can, and the response, I would say, is relatively okay, because the time period was short, and it was by email, and we know that down in developing countries, I come from a developed country, I know that the way this is booting here, internet is just going this way and that way. I'm telling you, it takes almost how many minutes, 5 minutes or so, before you can download things from the internet. So I guess the Lord had problems with that. Though we sent hard copies too, but then, like I said, the time was short. But we were able to get this. 25% responded to questionnaire one, and 23 or 24% really responded to questionnaire two, while about 9.6% responded to both questionnaires. We also found that actually that we tried to get people who or hospitals that participated in 2000 survey to respond to this questionnaire in 2010. However, we're only two, really. But then, as you will see later, you'll find out that this wasn't too much of a problem in assessing the status of Christian hospitals. We compared the status of hospitals in 2000 and 2010, whether they participated in the survey or not. All we wanted was look back at 2000 and look at 2010, what is the status, what's the status of your hospital now? And you will notice that actually, if you look at that particular graph, you will find that really what we had was, we could generally say, that was limited to moderate improvement in most of the indices we measured. Okay. And then again, we could also see that in some areas, there was really no improvement. There was no improvement. Some hospitals were reporting no improvement or limited really highly. Some even deterioration, like in funding, drugs, and medical staff. Oh, sorry, I need to get back. Okay. Interestingly, in terms of organization, we found that most of the hospitals, just a few, how many? Close to maybe about five or so, had business plans. And that's interesting. What it means is that there is a management issue here. Although they some had budgets and operations plan, but really a comprehensive business plan was not available for most of the hospitals. And another interesting finding was also that, not really, because if you look at what was found in 2000, you find the conflicts that was discovered then or was found out then still existed. Western and traditional conflicts was a major factor. Few hospitals lost staff too, so they had issues of staffing. Okay. Staff training and development. Quite a large number of hospitals reported that they have staff training and development plan. While we were analyzing this data, we discussed and we're asking, it's like, you are losing staff. And then we expect that if there is development, to a large extent, most of the staff, you wouldn't be losing that much staff. But then, what we arrived at was that maybe there was much of training, but really, not much of development. Okay. In terms of revenue, almost all report, most of them reported increasing revenue, and the rest of the others said it was about the same as in 2008. A lot said they didn't have to cut services or lay off staff because of inadequate funds in the same period. That ties with the last slide, which talked about increasing funds or funds remaining at the same level. Equipment needs. Most said that the current level and state of their hospital equipment could not meet the basic needs of their hospitals. We wondered and said, you have funding and all that. How come? What about equipment? It's probable that maybe in their own mindset, they had particular equipment they felt that they should have. And not having it meant that they didn't have all they needed. Well, you can still look at that. We need further study to really understand what is happening there. Our conclusions were that, one, Christian hospitals and other faith-based organizations remain a relevant and complementary channel for the provision of health services in developing countries. This is key. If we want to achieve the Millennium Development Goals, or generally grow in development, we need to partner with faith-based organizations. And most, the expert on this would say, he talked about it, I think, earlier in the day, most are Christian hospitals, really. Most are Christian hospitals, and there is need to partner with them. Data from the survey was, however, insufficient to determine if the findings of the 2000 survey were implemented by the surveyed hospitals. It was rather insufficient, as we saw in the earlier slide that we had looked at. And the data, however, suggests a limited to moderate improvement in the status of hospitals between 2000 and 2010. Some of the challenges that were identified in the 2000 survey still appear to be present in 2010. Hospitals may still require support, particularly in the areas of hospital management systems, drug and equipment procurement and management, community involvement, and management of Western traditional relationships, including Christian ministry, if we noted that particular slide. Our recommendation, therefore, was, one, we need to develop systems and processes to ensure that research findings are properly disseminated and used by Christian hospitals. This is important. Because oftentimes you find you do a lot of research, publish so much papers and all that, but things don't change. Things don't change. So I guess we need to find a way to ensure that this reach the people that need this information. And within the Christian body, it is important that the Christian hospitals get to learn about this information. We must also establish systems for feedback on implementation of the recommendations by the hospitals. There must be a way, if we work in a team, if we work as a network, we must find a way to have feedbacks. Maybe the mailing list too, all right, sometimes we can use it, just like CCIH is doing now. Issues you have in a hospital relating to the findings here, you can share it. And people who have experienced the same thing can proffer some solutions. Technical assistance needs to be provided in the areas of hospital management, as we noted earlier, seriously. I am glad that the next two speakers are experts in this field, and they are going to talk much more on this. Community involvement initiatives, we have found that if we don't involve the communities, oftentimes you find that you are not even getting to reach the people that you ought to reach. So it is important that the community is carried along in whatever you are doing. Their need must influence, must guide whatever interventions you are trying to put down. That way, it works better and there is a sense of ownership. Then, the issue of Western and traditional communities, as we noted before, in 2000 it was identified. 10 years forward, it is still there. We must have a way, we must find a way to solve this. Assistance is also required in the development of an appropriate and effective drug and equipment procurement and maintenance system. Oftentimes, we find that there is this wrong notion that whatever can work in more developed settings would also work in less developed settings. That can be, it can be a rude shock for most who come from the West. Because, or rather, you find that even those in developing countries want to use this equipment, but the infrastructure cannot support it. So there must be a kind of clear understanding of the infrastructure that is available and the equipment it can support, and exactly what you are. Oftentimes, the simple equipment that you need to run hospitals in developing countries, most are very simple equipment. And from there, you can graduate depending on the conditions that you find. There's a need to continue funding support, as well as encourage hospitals to explore other sources of funding. You see, the idea that most Christian hospitals are almost, in most cases, donor-assisted. But then, donor assistance, we have found that sustainability is a difficult issue there. It's an issue to think about. We can create health insurance systems whereby people are, in a way, they contribute. It may seem a little bit as if it's against the philosophy, but these days, even the WHO, see, they are telling that, look, we need a kind of pool. We need to prepare for health. That way it is cheaper. That way it will be cheaper, and it will get to reach more people. Capacity transfer approach, this is, if Vera had been here, I'm sure she would talk more on this. The idea here is that instead of just training people and throwing them into the field, that you need to, especially when they come into developing countries, the idea should be that you pour in all you have, and then when you leave, the person can manage as well as you do. You can say 3 years, and you keep on monitoring, you keep on transferring, and that way you find that you create a sustainable health delivery system. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think I have tried to summarize what my, in Nigeria we say, our guys have done. So thank you very much. These are some references that you may look at your own time. And I thank you for your patience and attention. If you have any comments or questions, I'll be glad to hear. Okay. Thank you.